This is a lecture and auditing demonstration by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 17th of December, 1952. The title is Discussion of Demo, Above Agreement with Flows. This lecture and auditing demonstration is 62 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
This is the third hour of the afternoon class, December the 17th. We've just had a demonstration of lifting. I want to point out that I made too big a step there once. And point out that I did a couple of steps without mock-ups between them. And if you were watching there and observing it, you found out that we were getting just a little bit less action. That you noticed that, by the way. I suddenly made you pick up four fingers without first making you pick up three fingers. Now, what did you feel about that?
It just seemed to be solid, like.
Yeah, it seemed to be a little bit solid. Yeah, we'd gone up to three, you see. Four. As it was, we just put a little more time on that than should have been. We jumped too big a step. And, of course, that recovered immediately. We were very shortly back in the running again. We just went back and picked up the three-step, did the three-step very thoroughly, and then came on to the four-step, and the four-step then, how'd they feel the second time?
They felt
much lighter, you see. Another thing is, what did you feel about doing mock-ups in between? Did you want to keep getting the show on the road, or what about the mock-ups? What was your reaction?
No, it was good.
Relaxed me. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Because he's in there pitching and agreeing with the real universe, and instead of the actual universe, and so he takes a look at the actual universe and throws himself some mock-ups there, and all of a sudden he says, well, not so bad. And you got released from tension. So actually your pre-clear will benefit if you did two or three mock-ups between every single step. But there is no reason why you should have to do this. To any great extreme. There's nothing compulsive about this. But it just so happens that if you're making him agree with the real universe, it just goes faster if you'll throw some mock-ups in there. Feels a little bit relaxed and feels a little bit happier about the thing. So, this process would have continued from four fingers, of course, to the hand, and then both hands, and then would have continued up to the elbows and the arms, and then would have wiggled one foot in one direction and then wiggled the other foot in the other direction and then pushed the feet together and then pulled the feet apart and then made one toe tap. Just lifted the toe and let it fall a few times. Now we would have hooked a line on and possibly made him pull his foot off the platform edge. Anything like that so it would just drop a little bit. Now we would have finally picked it up at the knee and let it swing back. I mean, pick it up so it bent at the knee, you see. And then he's starting to look at me fascinated. What's the matter? Does that sound hard?
No, I'm just getting the idea of how it works.
Well, there's nothing hard about it. I mean, as long as you follow the road, it becomes just ridiculously easy. Now, just exactly where the end of this is, I won't tell you at this time. I'll let you find out. Exactly what happens when you finally got a guy so he can boost his body around. Now, at any time this power action that you're getting there seems to fail, I won't say you can do that, you know. I'm not trying to encourage you with any line. Any time this power action seems to be slacking off or something of the sort, you've just done that fact. You've just agreed too long with the real universe, so you sit down. It isn't that you draw power, you see, out of the mock-ups or anything strange or peculiar like that. It's just that concentration on the real universe gets a fellow back below a certain point into flows. And he gets back to obedience of flows because he's finding flows useful. And he gets back, he wants to use them, therefore he's rather obedient to them. And he gets up above a break point, however, And above this point, he doesn't give a damn. But you have to get him just so high before it really has no further effect upon him. I was going to make a little note there. I was talking to you about a wheel. Sort of an all roads lead to Rome thing. All roads lead to Rome. And it's very pertinent when it comes to lifting or turning on perception. These things, as you well realize, depend upon force. And force is random effort, and effort is directed force. Now, you understand, of course, while I was working this pre-clear, that we were using beams. We're still using flows. When I told you get above the break point, that's this very specific point. It's the point where he simply gets way out, away from something, and he says, jump. And it, of course, promptly jumps. He doesn't use a beam, but he makes it jump for the postulate. Instead of taking the intermediate step of throwing beams on it. You see that? It's with easy. And you drill him up along that line. Till at last to make a finger lift, you wouldn't go over and throw a beam on the finger or anything else. You would just say, lift, and it lifts. It's fascinating what happens. So all roads lead to Rome here, and Rome in this case is force. Now, force is interpreted by many people to mean rough, mean, ornery, misused material. So that, however, force is merely energy with some direction. And effort is very closely monitored force, that's all. And I don't care whether you're pushing a paintbrush over a canvas or anything of the sort, there's a gradient of force there. And you get somebody who's very shy of force, because he gets an aberration, because people have used too much force on him and he has used too much force on others. And what do you get? You get a fellow who won't use force to push a paintbrush over a piece of canvas. Too much protest, then, along this line, it becomes aberrative and inhibits an individual's willingness to handle energy. When an individual is unable to handle energy, is unwilling to handle energy, same thing, unwilling, unable, unwilling to handle energy, the next thing that comes about is he becomes an effect of energy. The use of force is idiocy. It's just pure idiocy to accomplish everything across the boards. But if you're going to handle a material object, you are actually handling solid energy. A material object is solid energy. It is made of energy. It is therefore composed of force vectors. If you're unwilling to handle force, and you're unwilling to handle energy, you will become shy of handling, just automatically become shy of handling material objects, acquiring them, getting rid of them, placing them around, or anything of the sort. And, oddly enough, an individual's perceptions turn off to the degree that he's unwilling to handle energy. How isn't that cute? See, there's even energy in mock-ups. You put energy in mock-ups. Very light type of energy. It doesn't bear much resemblance to force. So the break point, of course, is up above the level of the use of force. No state really can survive from the moment that it begins to employ broadly and without much direction force. The use of force as the sole method of accomplishment of an end ends in death. Because it brings about a dependence upon force. But at the same time, there doesn't seem to be at this time, and when there is, we'll find it, if there ever is, a shortcut on force. The road out is the road through. When you're below the level, but unwilling to handle force, you can become subjected to force, and as you come up the line, you'll find it easier to handle things in terms of energy. And handling things in terms of energy then brings you about 19 times up the tone scale. This is the fastest way I know of to increase tone, you see, increase perception. You notice, how are you feeling there about halfway? All right?
Yeah.
All right. You keep bringing a guy up the tone scale, bringing him up the tone scale. Sometimes in you'll notice his tone change. He'll start to demonstrate some new strata on the tone scale and so forth. Just feed him some mock-ups on it. He looks kind of angry or something of the sort, so you say, oh, God, let's make him do something destructive. Let's make him hold on to something. Let go in a mock-up. And that shifts his tone again. If he jams somewhere on the tone scale, the use of force. All right? We don't have to do that. I mean, it'll work out automatically. So, unfortunately, force is the barrier, the sinister barrier. And the trick is to get up above the level where you accomplish things without the use of force, or what we commonly call energy, or flows. And in order to get to that point where you can handle things made out of energy without handling them with your manufactured energy, you, of course, are above the break point. And that's the point. Well above that point is the operating theta. He hangs up as long as he depends on flows. So we see this thing called force here. Let's see how many things go through force. And here we have the first and foremost that interests us. Irresponsibility is first manifested by an abandonment of force. I am to blame is an abandonment of force. It means I've used force for the wrong thing, and therefore I'm to blame. And I'm bad cause, and we don't want to be bad cause, so we'll abandon that. And next thing you know, the fellow's very irresponsible. Because what's responsibility when it comes down to that? It's willingness to own or act or use or be. And lower on the tone scale, all those things have to go through the band called force. That you could also call the effort band of the tone scale. Person gets below that effort band, no matter, they can still think, they can still act and so forth, but they're not willing to handle material objects, and they become irresponsible for them. Things around them start to become rather hen-nesty. And so we go through force, and we get responsibility. Over here, an individual who is having a serious time with causation and is responding to any kind of a flow. You see these fellows, we've got everything packed in. Step four, kind of we're trying to resolve with step four. They're just so subject to flows that what they get, they can't get rid of. What they have gotten rid of, they can't get. They're obeying flows. And so they're in effect. And we have this up here, through force and out of force, and we get cause. Cause, responsibility, actually are not on a parity. Cause is, if anything, higher than responsibility. I'm just drawing this in any old way here. Now, because knowledge and data is contained on energy and is as forceful on an individual as the individual is unwilling to face facsimiles, then data becomes composed of force. Facsimiles, pictures. Pictures of force. If he can't handle force, he can't handle the pictures. If he can't handle the pictures, he can't handle data. And if he can't handle data, he gets into that state known as unknowing. And there's nothing worser than the unknown if you postulate that there's something you ought to know and you can't that's contained in the facsimile. That is to say, a memory of some sort. So you get, I know not here. And that goes where? That goes right straight into force. And coming out of force gets what? I know. Interesting. Now, of course, an individual becomes as individual as he is high on the tone scale, and he is as individual as he can act by his own self-determinism, and he is only as individual as he can act by his own self-determinism. But if he can be made into an effect, if he can be made into an object, if he can be solidified somehow or other in space and given a label, he is identified. And being identified, of course, he becomes an object, and an object is an individual, and that, of course, is the state called I am not, and I am not, led through force, comes up here to, of course, I am. Very simple. Now, because every messed object is interested in identification and is not interested in differentiation, every one of these objects, why, of course, you get the ability to be everyone is on the upper side of this wheel, and being in sort of everybody's valence is on the bottom side of the wheel. So we get the fact he's really nobody. The best identified person, the most mental person, is nobody. Really, that's true. So we get that nobody, everybody. Now let's look around on the tone scale again. And what other ones do we find? We find down at the bottom of the scale, succumb. And that comes up through and becomes, of course, survive. Now how does that do that? Well, that's because when an object is interested in survival, it is not aware of the fact it is immortal. And if it is not aware of the fact it's immortal, it is because it obeys what? Force. And if it obeys force or obeys force laws, it naturally can be made to succumb. By what? Force. And so force has this corrosive effect upon the individuality, which brings it down at last into the individual identity, so-called, and it finally corrodes in, and you get that. Now, from this, you could assume that force had something to do with time, couldn't you? And, of course, that's true. Force does have a lot to do with time, and has also, force, as they overlook most often, has a lot to do with space, and when you have force and space, or energy and space, you get an object, and naturally, you have, which comes up here on the tone scale. We've got have coming up here now, and have comes up along the line, and of course, force is energy, and it goes up through energy and comes up here to what naturally would be. All through force again. Now, an object can't perceive. It can have perceptions engraved on it, but it can't look. And so we get down at the bottom here, of course, no perception. And up at the top, we get all perception. just to that degree. So we get thinking here being done in terms of energy, where the force level is. Down here, we get it done in terms of for you. And midway between those two points, it is done in terms of looking at old facsimiles. Just above energy, a force here, we have the thing operating on a, more or less a postulate basis, thing, and we get memory. So up here above force, of course, is the gradient scale of facsimiles. And here he's remembering more or less by flows or pervasion by flows. And up here he's just simply good memory. And this again goes through what? Over here, up here. That's a wheel. A lot of other things on that wheel. But the main thing that's on that wheel is what I will draw now, which is this big curve over here on the right side. And this big curve is cycle of action. So it starts up here with B. Goes through energy and ends with an object, or starts up there and ends with stop, has change in the middle. So force brings about change. When force is employed, it always brings about change in one sort or another, which inevitably ends in a static. There actually is a picture of your wheel that has to do with all the things, more or less, that we have been talking about as we went through this. Of course. This picture. Now, there are two ways those arrows can fly. I instinctively put them in that direction. You can take these same factors and put them in the other direction. When you put them in the other direction, you get the messed universe. When you put them in this direction, you get freedom. Those things which people instinctively resist really will eventually wind them up being an object, an identity, and fighting force or using force as a sole means is no good. But because that road leads through force, leads through energy, you make sure that your natural instinct to avoid it does not persuade you as a pre-clear to inhibit the efforts of your auditor just out of chatter to rationalize about force. He's not trying to make you into a single force object or something that uses only force. There isn't any ethic on a force level. It's almost shot. And as an auditor, boy, don't you ever let your own willingness to avoid force inhibit your restoring to an individual his right to be free. There is the picture, and the stable point that we're going to mark up here, the great big S, is in this area. And that great big S is an operating thetan. And there you've got it. Now, someday somebody's going to pick up a wheel like that and they're going to say, This was a mystic symbol which was used. They find this old universe floating around, and you just explode a few pieces of it or something of the sort. And it's still got pieces floating around in little chunks of space that sort of drift around. And you're probably, somebody is still trying to argue with somebody else that he ought to go back and remove these navigational menaces in case anybody started thinking in terms of you use force in order to create objects which you then rule, and the best way to do it is to create objects out of live, living, thinking beings. And anybody who starts on that line, why? He's in bad shape. But somebody will be explaining why somebody might get the going again on this thing. Not anything when you see the vector go down anywhere on these wheels. And you see that vector go down rocks and shoals. On this lower portion, force down. You see that vector turn around. You're going to wind up with succumb, defect, irresponsibility, have not, I am not, I know not. When you turn the vector around, start to use force on the pre-clear, he winds up, succumb, I am not, so on. Of course, it's a little bit different using force on him, simply using the posture line. You say, all right, well, let's go through this. Let's be still about this whole thing. All right, let's take it easy now. Yeah, using force. You're appealing to his reason. He knows you're not going to take a gun to him. But at first, he's only quivering because he is afraid you will take a gun to him. So much force has been employed against him. And the road out there is the road through energy. And I mark force up there not because we ought to call it force, but simply to point up that force is on a railroad tie across the track, and one which must be removed from the track for the pre-clear, because it's a dividing line. Now, somebody else could look at that graph, by the way, and he could say, now you see, what you do is, you're all those lower things, and to get better, you start using force. And if you use force, that brings you up into a beautiful state of I am and be and all that. And therefore, the best way to do this is to use force on everybody and accomplish it all by force. Heil Hitler! And as I said in the book, I heard a rumor lately that Adolf Hitler was dead. Because the Rus, you got to be able to handle it, willing to handle it, and willing to buck through it, willing to employ it, find out what it'll do. And this is a major point. How do you get a pre-clear to handle something that falls in the can't category on the machine? You make mock-ups of it, and you handle it. You can actually make mock-ups of force till you can handle it. But control and handling of anything which is the thing which bars the road is the modus operandi out. It isn't, at this moment at least, a rocket ride over all of the obstacles. You pick them up and you throw them off the track. Only you don't, but the pre-clear does. You just tell him to make them. Fear of force will keep him depressed. Actually, when a person's able to throw his body around, his fear of force lessens very markedly. And his fear lessens very markedly. Now, just asking, just offhand, do you feel any attitude shift? You don't have to. Do you feel any attitude shift? I mean, as a result of this lifting we were doing? You don't feel an attitude shift. Did it make you feel any better about anything?
Yeah.
You give any hope?
Yeah, it showed me that I've been out for quite a while. Didn't remind me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How do you mean that?
Well, I remember while we were processing, the first thing we used to do was to put each other up against the wall and then run us, you know, run through the, through that, when we get the, that wet water.
Uh-huh.
He said the best place was outside, so we decided to do that. So, after a while, at first, I used to walk with wrapped all around the body, and then after being processed a little more, I decided I didn't have to wrap around the body, just be around it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it slipped, you know, I didn't realize it, and now suddenly it all came back.
Mm-hmm. How would you feel if you could pick your body up with a scruff of the neck, about a foot in the air?
Oh, that'd be fine. I don't think that's too far away.
You don't, huh? Oh, no. Good. All right. Yeah, in the second half hour, let's go, or what little is left, let me go right straight through, and when I say beams, he was using a beam there. I want... Anybody around here ever look inside his head and see the front of his forehead? Who's looked around and seen the front of his forehead?
Hmm?
You've seen the front of your forehead? You've been out, though.
No.
Okay, who's seen the front of his forehead and hasn't been out? Take a look right now. Can you see the front of your forehead? Can you? I'm not talking about this side. I'm talking about this side, the back side, inside. You see the inside of your forehead? Have you been out? All right, sit down.
Sure.
Sit down.
This is step two.
All right. Let's just take a look at the inside of your forehead there. Got it?
Not very much reality under there.
Well, that's all right. Well, you'd rather not look at it? Well, I tell you what you do. Let's mock up right there in the inside of your forehead a dragon.
Okay.
Now, get him licking his chops.
Okay.
Now, make him get some very effeminate mannerisms he licks his chops.
Okay.
Now, get him getting very ladylike about licking.
Okay.
Get him turning pink.
Mm-hmm.
Now get the difference he conceives between himself and other dragons.
Okay.
All right, now let's take him, hang him out there about, maybe a foot over to the right, turning blue, hang him about a foot over to the right there.
Okay.
Got him out there?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's turn him upside down and hang his tail on a nail.
Okay.
Okay. Got him there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, right inside the forehead there, let's put a great big mouse trap.
Not sure where it's located.
Not sure where it's located. Well, just plaster it on the inside of the forehead. Stand it up on edge and make it scowl at you. That's probably better. Don't like that mouse trap? Well, put it way out on the other side of the room out there.
Okay.
Now put one just this side of it.
Okay.
And one just this side of it.
Okay.
All right, now make the one you just put down snap hungrily.
Okay.
Now make those three of them jump up and eat up all of these seats and all of the students.
Okay.
Got them? Now get them getting a stomachache. Then I'm explaining to each other it's because the gods have affected them.
Okay.
And get them lying down and dying. I have three mice come in and grab the mouse traps and lug them off to the other side of the room.
Mm-hmm.
Now make those mouse traps just huge and the mice very tiny.
Mm-hmm.
All right, make the mouse traps even bigger and the mice even smaller.
Okay.
All right, now get the mice eating the mouse traps.
That's quite a strain. I got traps here the size of the room, mice okay. The size of peas.
Okay, that's all right. Have to eat them up. How do you make them do it? They say they can't do it?
No, I got one of them done already. Well, how it's done, I don't know.
All right. All right.
Okay.
Now, take those mice and turn them into thetans.
Okay.
And have them come swinging over and going round and round your head.
Okay.
Have one of them take a saw and saw the top of your head off.
Okay.
Look inside to see if you're there.
Okay.
Have them tell you hello.
Okay.
Put the top of your head back on.
Okay.
I'll have them go away.
Okay.
Mark up another thetan and put it in yesterday.
Okay.
Okay, take a look at the inside of your forehead. Look at those horrible eyes staring in at you. Once in a while, freak you up there. I don't see anything, but I keep feeling like these horrible eyes are peering at me.
I get one purple spot.
You got one purple spot?
Just back of the forehead there.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's examine that purple spot real good. Is there another purple spot there?
No, it seems to be concentric circles, and they merge in.
Oh, yeah? Make it into a pool of water.
Very good.
I'll turn it blue. Turn it red. Turn it green.
Okay.
Got better now?
Green, okay.
All right, now turn on a tap over by the radiator and let it run and drain the pool. I'm using much more markup than you would use in step two. Got it going?
I still got my purple spot.
Okay, still got a purple spot. Good. Can you turn it red?
More red than it was.
Okay, turn it white.
Look.
You don't like that, turn it white.
No, it just doesn't turn.
Well, it turns red.
Kind of. Gets a little more red than it was.
All right, now let's turn it black.
It gets rather dark purple. There's a black now. Now it's purple.
Turn it black. Now turn it purple.
Good.
Now turn it purpler. Make it more purple than it is?
It seems to shift a little bit between kind of red and green.
What is that, more purple?
Can't seem to settle on the purple. Okay, got it.
Got it. Okay, now just let it be what it will. Let's just go to what you would do as an auditor if we said following. Now, let's just go right straight through the steps of SOP issue 5, and let's be 2 feet back of your head. What do you got?
No, I wouldn't be sure where I was.
Wouldn't, huh? All right. Let's just put a beam straight against the inside of your forehead there. And just put a beam in there and just give a shove. Shove that forehead there a couple of feet forward.
That purple spot's about 2 feet ahead of me, but...
The purple spot's about 2 feet ahead of you.
Yeah, but where I am, I don't know.
Uh-huh. Okay. Did it go away from you 2 feet?
Yeah, it's about that far away.
Well, make it 1 foot ahead of you.
Okay.
Make it 3 feet ahead of you.
Okay.
I must be 2 feet higher than it.
Kind of a sensation of looking down at it, but...
Okay, now be 2 feet lower than it.
Kind of an odd idea of it being above me.
Okay. Now let's be a little bit further away from it.
I guess I'm probably about 6 or 8 feet away.
Okay. Think you got any plainer to you? Not asking you to look at the surroundings. I mean, just, do you have any more feeling of certainty?
Well, I'm not sure whether the white spot's pushed out that way or whether I pushed that way.
Oh, is that what's mixing you up?
I don't know.
Why don't you just push yourself now? Push yourself out a little further.
Kind of an odd feeling of being unsupported.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know where the hang I am yet.
Well, let's mock up somebody falling.
Okay.
Now, let's mock up a cat falling.
Okay.
A dog falling.
Okay.
A bird falling.
Okay.
A cow falling.
Okay.
I have a horse fall upward.
Okay.
I have him fall downward. I'm stopped falling.
Okay.
Okay. Mock up a green wall.
Okay.
Mock up a body.
Okay.
Change the color of the wall.
Okay. Okay.
Change the color of the body.
Okay.
Throw them out the window.
Okay.
Okay. Now, how do you feel about it?
Good.
Feel good? You got any better idea of location? Do you have any little tiny faint or partial visio on anything?
No. Well, there's the purple spot.
You got that purple spot. Why don't you turn it into a golf ball and knock it away.
Doesn't knock.
Doesn't knock, huh?
No, nope. Doesn't turn into a golf ball either.
Doesn't. Okay, I tell you what we'll do. Tell you what we'll do. Turn it red.
Got a pink?
Okay, deepen the pink. Lighten the pink. Deepen it. Now keep it from being scarlet.
That requires effort.
Really? But you did manage it.
It got scarlet on me.
I'm going to throw another step in here just for the hell of it. It's in standard operating procedure, issue 1 and 2. Try not to be a foot back of your head. What happens when you do that?
Well, I put forth a little effort, feel a little tension, but nothing else.
Okay. Now, let's just pick up a point out in front of your body.
Okay.
All right, hold it still.
Seem to get a kind of odd visio looking at my leg.
Oh, yeah? All right, what's this spot there? You got the spot?
Yeah, that jumped out and I told you about my leg.
Oh, let's put it back there.
It's doing a fair job of sticking around the vicinity.
Doing a fair job of it, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, is it holding completely still?
Not completely. It's awful hard to get it down to a precise spot, too.
Let's not worry about it.
Okay.
You had an impression to look at your leg suddenly, huh?
Kind of.
You know, once in a blue moon, you don't find the pretty clear. Now, this is outside of the mock-ups, which I was doing there, throwing in some randomity, and outside of introducing negative exteriorization, which you don't have known anything about. But it's a technique. Why, this is standard so far, and I'm not doing it to validate him, because I could actually work him on any of these steps until he was exterior. But I just want to keep going. But the easiest, fastest way to do it is just go right on through the steps. Let's take the old homestead now.
Okay.
All right, let's make a whole ring of them all the way around you, about 20 feet away from you. That's faster. because he got it fast. That's faster, that's more of them than you would normally ask for. You got a few?
Yeah, kind of dimly, but I got them.
All right. Now, this, you leave back of you too?
Yeah.
All right. Let's start taking them then from in back of you and start sticking them in, stacking them into yourself.
That's it.
Stick them in. One after the other.
Okay.
Got them all?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you ring up another ring of them? Now let's let one just drift out there about 5 or 10 feet in front of you. Does it show any tendency to do anything?
Yeah, it flipped over on its top easily.
Towards you or away?
It just rolled over.
Towards you?
Yeah, towards me, I guess.
What do you know? All right, now let's just stack all of those you just put out there and stack them in. Just pick them all up and stick them in. I'll go right on now with a step 4. I'll do this much more rapidly than you would ordinarily do it.
Okay.
Is it getting easier to do?
Yeah.
Okay. Why don't you throw them all out there in the circle again and turn them purple?
Okay.
All right. Put cowboys on each one of them.
Okay.
Change the cowboys to Indians.
Okay.
Now I have the houses develop legs and gallop in a wide circle around you.
Okay.
Now speed up the gallop. What's happening?
Well, they were going around me. They're gradually shifting. They're going around out here.
Now let's put them out there where they belong.
Up here? Okay.
And let's bring them in on your lap. Just pile them all in on your lap.
My cups are rather dim, not very substantial, but they're there.
Got them on your lap?
Yep.
Okay, got them on your lap. Condense them into one house.
Okay.
Yeah, one house?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's take this house and turn it into a castle.
Okay.
And put it way out on the other side of the room.
Okay.
Put it in yesterday.
Okay.
Mark up a woman.
Okay.
Another one.
Mm-hmm.
Another one.
Okay.
Another one. What are they doing, by the way?
Just stand there perfectly still.
They are?
Yeah.
Let them turn around and walk away from you.
I have a tendency to walk out and then slip back about 3 feet.
All right, take them one after the other and just throw them into your body.
Okay.
Have any difficulty with that?
No.
All right, now just mark up all the women you have. Just mark up. We don't care how sloppy. We're not interested in identification on them at all. No matter how sloppy, just mark up every woman you ever knew on the whole track for the last 74 trillion years, and just pick on big circles and start throwing them into the body. And if just a moment before they come in they seem to stick, turn them red or blue, or turn them red and blue, and they'll slip in.
Was to be done individually, or is it?
And just at any time, any moment that you get one out here who doesn't want to come in, make three more like her. And the last one that you made will probably snap in. Now let's just go out at this, and so the last you made will snap in, then take in the other two. I'm not trying to set this up on an automatic basis. I'm just setting it up as a routine. We've got a lot of dames to handle here, and we don't want to waste any time with these dames. Because dames, after all, are dames. And let's mock these things up in a huge crowd standing behind you and in front of you and each side of you.
Okay.
Now let's put a great big balcony and so forth above you, full of them. Now a huge square of them below you, full of them.
Okay.
All right, start pulling them in from all sides and descriptions, one by one or 10 by 10. I don't care, but let's get them all.
Get them as far as there's no personal identity there at all. I couldn't pick out one out of the group. I tried to.
Did you get them all?
Well, they're still stuck out here.
Oh, they're still stuck?
Yeah.
Turn them all green.
Okay.
Turn them all blue.
Okay.
For every one of those, make two more.
Okay.
For every one of those, make two more. It'd be quite a few.
Quite a few.
Turn them red.
Okay.
Turn them blue.
Okay.
What's the matter?
You're having trouble keeping them blue.
Well, you're in trouble keeping them blue. We'll turn them back to natural color.
They moved a considerable distance away from me. Might or so, at least.
Oh, they have moved away from you?
Yeah.
No kidding. Well, now pick them up and stuff them into the body. Get going on this. Quite a few dings there.
Okay.
They working okay?
I think they're inside.
You think so? Well, let's pack them down.
They haven't got them out there anyway.
Huh?
They haven't got them out there, and I tell them coming in.
Okay, now let's pack them into the body a little tighter. What kind of crowd is down?
Yeah, they were packed and then they went out and then they pushed them in again.
Yeah, let's get them in there real good now. All right, now the dickens with those. Let's mark them all up again. Get them out there around you. Mark them all up again.
pick them out as individuals much better than I could before.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's quite a bit more detail.
What ribbons flying over their heads?
Okay.
Now, make a couple more for everyone you've got there.
That doesn't seem to come too good.
Taking more of them?
No.
Why? Were you two so interested in them becoming suddenly individual?
They've lost that again, become a mass.
Oh, and this is not quite as desirable.
I don't know.
We got them all mocked up. There's a mass. Now just turn them red.
This markup's losing a lot of its detail and reality.
Oh, yeah?
As it goes on.
Getting sort of red, though.
Kind of, yeah.
All right. Now just let them be whatever shade they want to be and stuff them in. Get them in.
Okay.
Pack them down.